A Jim Brown life story. Take three.
Yeah.
So, how did you find your teacher, Achen Shah?
How did I find him? I found him wonderful. But if you mean how did I discover my teacher, that I was staying at, well, let's go back even earlier. I started becoming interested in Buddhism in UK. When I decided to become a monk, I went to the Thai temple in London. And the reason I decided to ordain in the Thai tradition was because the Thai monks smiled the most. They were the happiest. So I wanted to go to a happy monastery. They sent me, when I asked to ordain as a monk, they said it's better to ordain as a monk in Thailand. So they sent me to a big monastery in the center of Bangkok. So I was staying there for about 6 weeks. I'd ordained as a monk, and then I saw these very dirty, shabby-looking Western monks who were staying in this monastery for a few days doing their visas. And of course, being around Thai people who couldn't speak English, it was very wonderful being able to talk English to other Western monks. And those were Western monks who had come down from Ajahn Chah's monastery in the far northeast. And they invited me to come for a visit. So when I had time, it was after the New Year, I went up to Ubon, which is the far northeast of Thailand, to see Ajahn Chah's monastery. And when I walked into that monastery, it was such an amazing experience. It was so quiet and serene. It was perhaps one of the most serenest moments of my life, walking into the monastery of my teacher. The atmosphere there just showed that something special was going on within that temple. And then I stayed there for a few days. And I wasn't so convinced of Ajahn Chah. He never impressed me at first, except when we were doing some work in the forest. And while we were doing some work, there was another monk who wanted to ask questions of Ajahn Chah. And so he had a translator, and he was asking questions that were being translated, and Ajahn Chah was answering, and they were being translated back. And I was quite interested and then quite surprised, because Ajahn Chah was answering every question which came up into my mind. And afterwards I asked this monk, the questions which you asked, did you get satisfactory answers? And Ajahn Chah said that no, the answers weren't satisfactory, they were nonsense. And I told him, I know why now, because Ajahn Chah was reading my mind and answering my questions, not yours. And that impressed me so much that I began to stay there. And the lifestyle was so authentic, so simple, and so close to what I understood as Buddhism, that I stayed on there for 9 years, meditating, living a monastic life, studying. And even though it was very, very harsh physically, it was wonderful spiritually.
And what's the most important lesson you would say that you learned there?
There's no one lesson, but many lessons, with like how to let go. A good example is Ajahn Chah. I haven't got any sticks here, but Ajahn Chah would pick up a stick and say, is this heavy? And before I could answer, he threw it away. He said, it's only heavy when you're holding on to it. And obviously his meaning was, anything in life, whether it's the past or some pain, some disappointment, your sloth and torpor or your restlessness in meditation, it's only a problem when you hold on to it. So you just throw it away. And then you're light and you have no problems. Simple teachings, but very powerful.
Please tell me a funny, insightful and never heard before story about your life with Ajahn Chah.
Okay. Many people have heard these stories before, but I'm not sure if, yeah, I think it might be in the book, but this is one of the most powerful and deep stories. Towards the end of Ajahn Chah's teaching life, he started getting sick. So as Westerners, we wanted to try and help our teacher as best as possible. So we knew from our readings that in the ancient monasteries of India in the time of the Buddha, monasteries had saunas. Saunas were not invented in Sweden. They were in India 25 centuries ago. So we built a sauna. We invited Ajahn Chah to come over to our monastery, which was 6 kilometers from his monastery, once a week for a sauna. But it wasn't just out of compassion for him, because we knew if Ajahn Chah came every week, that he would also give us a Dhamma talk. And we look forward to those Dhamma talks from the great master once a week. On this one occasion, Ajahn Chah gave a wonderful Dhamma talk. It was so inspiring and insightful that instead of going to help my teacher with his bath, with his sauna, there were other monks who could do that duty. Instead, I went to the back of the Dhamma hall and sat meditation and got into very deep samadhi. And when I came out from samadhi, I thought I should maybe see if I can still help my teacher. So I went towards the sauna alone. And I was too late, because Ajahn Chah had finished his sauna and he was coming out. He was coming back to the car with two attendants. And we were going to cross on the path. And just before we crossed, he stopped and looked at me. Looked at me the only way a great master can look at you, right through you, reading your mind. He saw that I'd just been in a good meditation. And so he stopped and tried to enlighten me. He looked me in the eye, held my gaze with iron grip, and said, "Brahmaramso, why?" He barked. He asked me the ultimate question, "Why?" I replied, "I don't know." Oh, the stupid monk. Now, when great masters hear stupid Westerners speak like that, they just laugh. Many times we gave our teacher great entertainment because we were so stupid. And he laughed. But then he went serious again. He said, "Brahma Wangso, I'll tell you the answer. If anyone ever asks you again the question, why, this is the correct answer. The answer is, my me arai, which in Thai means, there is nothing. There is nothing. Do you understand?" he said. I said, "Yes." He said, "No, you don't." And he went away. So there's a wonderful little encounter with a great master. He really tried in that moment to fully enlighten me, but I was too stupid. He told me the answer to one of the deepest questions. Why? There's nothing. Anatta, non-self, or emptiness, sunyata. That's the answer to the question, why? And all of you people looking at this video, do you understand? No, you don't. Is it like that? Okay.
Real?
Details, huh?
Okay.